as a worker, as somebody from the working class, that if I think that the working class is capable of achieving the greatest things in this world, and if we are shoulder to shoulder with the working class, and if we're farmers family farmers, I think that's a good term, family farmers, and we unite with the working class and people like the people in the American Postal Workers Union that are in every zip code in the United States, I think that we will win a far more just and peaceful world. Thank you.
This gathering has convinced me that even though it looks like politically we're hurtling very fast to the right, this gathering has convinced me that we're on the verge of a new progressive era of cooperation and grassroots organizing. So go for it.
Does this mic work? Yeah, I love it when I have the mic. Again, my name is Rhonda Perry with the Missouri Rural Crisis Center, and I just want to say I think Farm Aid has a history of creating these kinds of spaces that enable us to work together. And today, just it was an incredible day for me. I was like moved to tears several times. People who know me would think that was really a rarity, and it is. But who I saw in this room and heard from are people like Gary Grant, who in 1995 came to Missouri in the middle of two gravel roads in North Missouri where you would see nothing but white farmers for at least 150 miles. And he came to help us, to tell us their experiences in North Carolina as black farmers on fighting factory farms. It was actually right next door to Terry Spence's house, who was fighting a premium standard farms, which is now Smithfield Foods, which is now owned by a Chinese corporation. By the way, that was power. And Gary Grant just said to me, I was scared to death on that day, but I trusted you guys, is what he was saying. And we are tomorrow going to be selling Patchwork Family Farms pork for like the millionth year at this Farm Aid concert. Commercial. If you want a great pork chop, come to the Patchwork Family Farms booth. But why we have Patchwork Family Farms is because Shirley Sherrod from the Federation came in 1993 and told us how to set up a co-op as white farmers. People that she didn't have to come and talk to us. It was probably a scary proposition like it was for Gary Grant, but we had a relationship that was really unending in which we could build our organizational base, but we could do it with help from our allies who came from their experiences on these issues. And in Missouri, we knew the Campbell Soup campaign story inside and out because our executive director had met Baltimore through a whole different issue. And he told us how campaigns can work when farmers and farm workers are included. So we have a history, and Farm Aid, just like today, has helped create the space for that history. And Shirley, I think you're right. We need to do another something in which we are training not just us as the 37-year-olds who've been doing this for a long time. That was good. Nobody even laughed when I said that, Gary. They believed I was 37, Gary. But the young people who are in this room who have the capacity to help us take these relationships that we've built to a whole new level.
I'm Kathy Ozer with the National Family Farm Coalition, and the message that Rhonda just laid out, I think, is so critically important of learning from each other and sharing experiences and building the strength that we need to really expose and confront what are both the corporate influences and the misinformation and sort of perceptions. And one of the issues that I think is really critical, and it's many of us in this room and other people across the country, is gearing up around exposing unfair trade agreements where our allies in other countries are being hurt and their communities are being displaced by some of these very policies. And so the strength of us standing up and questioning and being clear that there are other positions and other agendas than what's being touted as a U.S. position or corporate position or our government or others is very important. So just appreciate the energy and people really thinking, but knowing we have to be doing a lot more than what we've been doing, because I think that question about what is success is that for many of us and some of us that are in D.C., we've been fighting battles to just hold the line on many of the wins from the last 10 or 20 years. But if we weren't there doing that, we would have lost even more. And so the importance of acknowledging that, but figuring out more, better and more creative ways of really getting our messages across and organizing at the local level to strengthen all of our bases and all of our work together. So thanks.
So we were talking about a couple of different related issues. One is what can be happening from here and what has been happening in the field among our different organizations. And then the second was what specifically can come out of FarmAid and how do we get traction from the energy that we build up here today. And there were three thoughts that seemed interesting to me that I think work together. One was Shirley's comment about the grassroots at the local level and really strengthening that level of engagement and not forgetting that and understanding the ripple effects of how that ends up at other levels of power down the line. The second was thinking about the urban and rural connection and figuring out ways to illuminate common interests so that folks can get interested in issues that they may not see as directly related to them, but there are ways in which the needs are in common. And the third one I forget, so I'm going to pass the mic.
This is a rare moment for me. I won't cry. But I just want you to know, Eric, that I'm going to say ditto to everything. This is a very special moment when I feel that I am totally in sync with 10% of my DNA. And I could not say anything any better than you. But I would only like to lift up the fact that we need a sort of an action agenda coming out of here. And it doesn't have to be driven by FarmAid. I think we all need to commit that we have to go back to our local communities and build traction, join something, donate something, resources, time. Because it can't be that the enemy is within us. We got to defeat the enemy out there. And I just want to just say, well, we just got to get along with and go on with it. So thank you.
It's appropriate that I go after Savi. I wanted to first thank Savi for mentioning fisheries from the stage. My name is Niaz Duri. I run a nonprofit called Northwest Atlantic Marine Alliance. We work with fish workers and fishermen around the U.S. and abroad. And so what I took away is just the confirmation and affirmation that our battles are the same, in fact. And as Savi mentioned, a lot of the issues that farm workers and farmers and family farm movement has been facing, we have it on the fisheries side. We have it on the coastal communities. And I was glad to see that come up a couple of times. Unfair prices, we've got that. A lack of distribution access, we've got that. Political influence that's privatizing the rights to fish and or to farm in this case, we've got that. Lack of, if you have to drive your hogs or your fish 250 miles away, we've got that. Loss of working waterfronts in rural communities, we've got that. So there's a lot of those issues that are exactly the same on the fishing side than they are on the farming side. And I want to take this opportunity to thank FarmAid and National Family Farm Coalition. For the past 6 years, you all have given us space to help draw that parallels out every year. And it's been a really powerful moment for the fishing community folks that have come to these events to really realize there are allies that have their back, much like everybody had Reverend Barber's back this morning. So thank you for that, and thank you for the inspiration that came from all the presenters today.
I just wanted to, while I remembered it, quickly say the third idea, which was taking a networked and decentralized but very strong and consistent approach to advocacy, so that we keep the issues that we share in common in front of people in as strong a way as possible as federal funding starts to go away. So that was the third one.
This is Rudy Adelondo with the National Latino Farmers and Ranchers, and I want to thank FarmAid for integrating us into your great network. And we're looking forward to helping us to integrate and fill some of, we are working together, but I need to have more information of what, how the FarmAid groups are working so that we can connect and work with you and fill some of those holes so you can somehow find out where it is that we need to engage with any of you that are out there. You know, we have a tremendous amount of needs in terms of identifying where are those clusters of farm workers who transition into farm ownership. We need to identify them to help them to attain increase their capacity. So somehow we would very much appreciate that being considered, and hope you could help us to do that. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Michael Wall with Georgia Organics. I want to talk about something that Dr. Sherrod said earlier. Dr. Sherrod said she doesn't want us to leave here and come back again and do this again and again and again. And I'm not young, but I'm not old. I came here with Daniel from Mississippi, Alice from Alabama, Joe from Georgia Organics as well. I'm with Georgia Organics. And we don't want to be back here in 10 years having the same conversation. So what I'm going to do personally is commit to being more open to listening, which is something I stole from Joe, and being more open to unity and aligning with other people, which is something I'm borrowing from Niaz, because we're stronger together than we are on our own. Thank you.
Thank you, and I'm sorry that I made you walk over two times, but couldn't quite make up my mind. For those of you who know me, know that I'm a man of few words. And I certainly have enjoyed today. And I want to go back and thank Dr. Barber again for putting this into perspective. I'm also, at the age of 40, very happy to see so many young people here, because it renews my faith. I've been thinking perhaps that all of this work has been done, you know, and there's not another crew that's coming along to pick it up. So as I enter 41, I do want to ask the question, does anyone else see in this room what happened other than me in relationship from this morning to this afternoon? And that is, no, everything has been great, but one third of the people who were of color are gone. They left with Dr. Barber. And those are the folk that we have got to reach to help them understand that they are the ones who are eating food that's coming from corporate America being processed, and that they are not the ones who are support, that they are the ones we need in order to support family farmers and to get this thing back on track. Now, I don't know how we do that, but we can't put that off the table as we continue to talk and make plans for where it is that we're going. And I'm happy to see old friends and make new friends, But we have a real racial problem in this country, and it's not going to be settled until we address it. I was talking with the group here at this table about there was a dialogue on race when Bill Clinton was president. You all know that, right? How many of you were there? I rest my case. Thank you.
Good evening. First of all, I want to thank Savvy for having me here. I'm Tony Hayes. I'm the tribal chairman of the Okanichi Tribe here in North Carolina, and I'm also the CEO of the North Carolina Indian Economic Development Initiative. Hadn't heard a lot about American Indians today, but I just want you to know that American Indians are in the room. And me and my associate here have had a good day of learning and exposure. And we certainly want to be part of the conversation in North Carolina, being that North Carolina is the most populous American Indian state on the East Coast. So just wanted to let you know that we're appreciative, and we will certainly be more engaged in the future. So thank you for having us.
I want to do... Again, congratulate all the folks who are here. Concerned about the marginalization of farms, family farms. But I want you to know that we really have to address this, the polarization of wealth that's happening not only in this country, but it's a global march. And we're not going to get away with dealing with food systems without dealing with the globalization of our food system. And everything that we produce in this country, we're competing with poor producers in other countries as well. And believe me, the investment strategies in our trade agreements have everything to do with that movement towards global marginalization. They want to make all of us low-wage workers, and we can't stop that until we have organization among those at the lower layers strata of our American population. And so we have to build institution among the oppressed, among the marginalized, whether you're black, white, brown, red, or yellow. We have to build institution, independent movement institution, in order to juxtapose and negotiate up the supply chains of our food systems. FLOC is doing its part among the immigrant workers, among the Latinos, among the migrant workers. But we have to, out of necessity, collaborate with others who are like marginalized so we can build coalitions to attack the accumulation of wealth at the top and demand that they give us back what we produce in the wealth of this country. But not only by ourselves, we have to do it with our counterparts in Mexico and Latin America and Asia and across the globe, because they have their global strategies. I was sitting there with Philip Morris International. They're telling us about their global program to try to educate their suppliers around the globe. And everywhere they look, everywhere I've researched, you know, all around the globe, they have the same problems that they have here in North Carolina. Child labor, forced child labor. They marginalize people to the bottom to maximize and produce global wealth for themselves. We have to stop that. It ain't going to be done by government intervention. It's got to come from the power of the people. And this is the last thing that Dr. Martin Luther King put his finger on when he planning that Poor People's Campaign. I began to see what Dr. King was talking about that night in Atlanta when he said, you know, the civil rights movement ain't just a black thing anymore. That has to do with poor people, and that's why he was doing this Poor People's Campaign, that instead of being a race issue, it was a class issue, which they use race to divide and conquer so they could keep oppressing all of us altogether. Now, we can go on and have success individually as each group, but it's going to be a lot better if we do it together. Thank you.
I hadn't said very much, and I didn't intend to. I was hoping, you know, but I do want to encourage us as a follow-up that we find a way to continue this conversation. I've thoroughly enjoyed it here. If we all understand what has happened to us over the last 3 years, resources have gotten thinner and thinner, and they would do it under this administration. So we have to not only remember that, as we leave here, we got to remember November, and we have to see about what Shirley talked about earlier, you know, organizing and getting out, and I'll say it, getting out to vote and making the changes that you feel necessary to send a clear message to Washington at our local level, wherever, that we are one and we are going to work together. Thank you.
Before we introduce Jim Hightower, speaking from FarmAid, I just want to say that what happened here and what's happening here today is the FarmAid DNA, and I just want to point out a couple of things. Willie Nelson, you might remember, in the 70s, he was wearing a suit, and Nashville record industry had him wearing a suit and looking like every other country singer, and he didn't like it. So he went home to Texas, where he was from. And who do you think brought the rednecks and the hippies together? Willie Nelson. It was a breakthrough cultural experience and demonstration. And that, I think, is what FarmAid stands for in terms of bringing people together. We are more than happy when people call saying they have an idea, they're trying to do something. All we do is work in partnerships with people, and all we do is try to get people together. I mean, that's not all we do, but that's a lot of what we do. So I welcome that, but I also welcome
test.
This is good.
Okay. All right. So one, if you need to get concert credentials for your group and you registered for them, Kate can give those to you. She's sitting over there. Two, there is a literature table next to where Shirley's also selling her book, and we encourage people to leave materials to share with one another. Three, stay with us for when we wrap up. We also have some refreshments and libations and all of that in the back, and just a chance for us to relax. And then from there, those of us who are heading to the hoedown will go together. It's very easy to get to. It's about a mile, almost on the same street, on Person Street, is the quickest way to walk down or to drive down.